Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What are we thinking, Hugh?
I think he tried to say, what is this, the upbeat Backstreet Boy version?
What?
What is this? Is this like a remix?
You really asking me what this is?
No, I mean, I know the song, but is this like a remix?
Do you like this
song? Feels like a remix.
Do you like this?
I like the original.
Let it
that's
play
not. Out. That's not. Who is that singing? Who is that? That's not Boyz II Men singing.
I literally looked up Motown Philly in the System
and just played something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if we need some help with our music knowledge, we know.
I mean, that's not the original. But I mean, I like the song, but it's not the original.
We're just trying to get a little upbeat here. We got a playoff game tonight in Philadelphia.
Y'all looking at me like, why
Ranger are you through a complete game.
Why are y'all looking at me like, why
raining
are you
raining on my parade over here, Hugh?
I'm sorry.
I know.
My bad. I thought Elliot was about to come on
well,
the
he
song.
Well, he is.
Yeah, and I thought
I just wanted to know if you like the song.
Yeah, I like the song. I like the original version.
Well, we'll see what Elliot thinks about all this. And the Eagles, who are down at the NovaCare Complex. OTAs begin today. Elliot Shore Park's call and brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how are we doing today?
Man, you could really hear like the NSYNC Backstreet Boy vibes in that song.
Thank you. That's what I was talking about. I felt
exactly.
that.
That makes it a good song. I mean, that's
all classics. Yes.
Total classic. Yeah. All right, Elliot, a lot to discuss here. We'll end with the Sixers because it is a huge game tonight for them and their chances in the Eastern Conference playoffs against the Miami Heat. But, Elliot, a lot going on in the Eagles' world as we are 8 days away from the draft. Howie and Nick spoke yesterday. I know players were speaking today and then this Belichick story this morning. Elliot, let's start with yesterday and the press conference with Roseman and Sirianni. What did you make of Howie's answers to the Hassan Reddick questions?
So I think the first one, you know, laying out kind of the depth they have, Bryce Huff, they want Nolan to play more, bringing Josh back. I mean, that's all correct. I think they put themselves in that situation. They elected to sign Bryce Huff. They elected to bring back Josh Sweat. So, you know, it wasn't a situation that they fell into and had to react to. But as to the second one, you know, I was surprised, I guess, that Howie had such issue with the use of the word conditional. I mean, it is a conditional pick. I understand what he's saying, that they will be getting a pick, but it is a pick that has conditions to it. So I think that ultimately probably Howie, you know, who's normally so buttoned up and good at these things, it was surprising to see him go off script or character a little bit. But the Hassan Reddick trade is one that he's probably heard a lot of criticism about. I think he's been under quite a bit of heat for it. So maybe you saw a little bit of his frustration come through with a trade that, while he knows Reddick is a good player, he feels he got good value back for that player.
Did you take anything away from, you know, their potential draft plans? I mean, every team does these, right? The Eagles do it every year, this pre-draft thing. We try to glean from what they're saying, what they're going to do. Obviously, they're not trying to give anything away. Did you take anything away from anything he said yesterday to give you a clue where they might go next week?
Yeah, it's funny with these press conferences, even something you take away from it could be so intentional that it's a lie. You know, they want to use this to, you know, get out there what they want out there. And this part of the year, especially what, you know, GMs and head coaches say publicly, you would think is, you know, playing chess, right? Trying to send a message. But I think if you take them at face value for what they said yesterday, it's pretty clear they see value and feel comfortable in taking a player that won't play right away. They talked about the value that, Jalen Carter has gotten being around Fletcher Cox, the value Cam Jurgens, who spoke today, has gotten about being around Jason Kelce. Those are not players. Obviously, Carter played right away, but Jurgens hasn't been at his full-time position yet until this season. So heading into the draft at 22, could they take a corner or an offensive lineman that doesn't have a clear path to a starting job next year? I think that would be a mistake. I think you want your first-round pick to have a clear path to being a starter. But they see a lot of value in a player sitting and learning from all-time great players.
Elliot, Cooper DeJean making a visit to the Eagles, and he doesn't have much time here because he was injured. He did his pro day a couple weeks ago, so seems like his visits are limited. What do you make of that? And then I was looking on FanDuel this morning, Elliot. They've set his draft number, you bet over-under on a draft position, at 22.5. So he's right basically at the Eagles pick either before or after them. What do you make of the DeJean visit, and what's your thoughts on him now that there's more kind of connecting him to the Eagles?
So I think where players go on their top 30 visits is very noteworthy, especially a player like Cooper DeJean. And, you know, as you mentioned, because of injuries he dealt with this offseason, or recovering, I should say, from last season, he had to be more selective in where he went. I would imagine every team in the first round wanted to bring him in, or at least the majority of them. And so the fact that he picked the Eagles as one of, I believe it was four visits he made, is very noteworthy. It tells me that his team, his agent, and him feel the interest from the Eagles is real. The Eagles certainly probably made them feel that way to get him to come to Philadelphia. As for him being the pick at 22, I could see why he would make sense. He's someone that I don't want to say doesn't have a clear position, because obviously the defensive back, but some people think he'd be best at outside corner. Some teams think he'd be best at safety. You know, he can play nickel. So there's a lot you can do with him. For me, my concern with him would be, if I'm taking someone in the first round, and I know everyone's a projection, so you can't say for sure, but you look at certain players and go, I know that he can get after the quarterback at a high level. I know that he can be a great offensive tackle. And when it comes to corners, I need to know that they can play press man coverage. If I'm just going to get a zone corner that's going to drop back and play 10 yards off, I can get those corners later in the draft. So while Cooper DeJean is considered a great athlete, he has very little tape, or at least amongst the top corners in this draft, of being a press man outside corner. And that's my concern with him. Great athlete, great potential. I don't know if he's great at one thing or just good at a lot of things, and that's not what I'm looking for in the first round.
When you're down to the press conference, did you get any type of feel of where you think the Eagles might go with that first round draft pick? Because I've been hearing a lot about offensive linemen, not so much about defensive linemen. So did you get a kind of any feel about where you think they could potentially go?
So I think if the board breaks their way and what they want to do, I think they want to take an offensive lineman. And it could be two different types of offensive linemen. One could be a guard, a J.C. Latham, you know, one of the guards out of Oregon State or Washington that can play guard but are projected to are able to move to tackle. So In an ideal world, they get someone that starts at guard next season, and then when Lane retires, whenever that is, they feel potentially could move to the outside, or even if Lane gets injured, maybe you move him. So I think they want position versatility from their offensive lineman. But if it's not one of those players, I do think they see this class, and correctly so, as very deep at offensive tackle with lots of interesting prospects. There's Mims out of Georgia. There's a really good pass-blocking offensive tackle out of Penn State. Those guys are not projected to be able to play guard. But at 22, if he's going to sit for a year or two, maybe they think they're good enough athletes to develop. So this is a very unpredictable draft. Howie said yesterday he has a pretty good feeling on who he thinks the top 25 players will be. But what order they go in is really hard to predict. So I think they want an offensive lineman, but have to be open to a lot of different scenarios.
Elliot Sherr-Parks joining us here as we talk about the Eagles draft next. We'll get to the Sixers. Elliot, let's hit the story, though, this morning. And I kind of was wondering if one of these stories was coming. Like, what the heck happened with the Bill Belichick coaching search this offseason? He didn't get a job. All these guys that, like, Dave Canales got a job with the Panthers. Who the heck's Dave Canales, right? So, like, what happened here that the guy that has all these rings didn't get a job? A lot in this story about structure, about GMs and power and all that kind of stuff. But, Elliot, there was a part of it, a lot of it, about the Eagles. One, that he'd be interested in this job next year if it was open. But two, that they investigated. Like, they really did it. Roseman spoke to Belichick. Now, they made it seem like it wasn't necessarily about the job, but they spoke. What did you take away from the story? And do you think it's out of left field that they talked through it, and now it's public that they talked through the idea of Belichick instead of Siri?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Johnny.
So I think you have to view this as Belichick and not looking into a head coach. Belichick being available is a unique situation. So many times with the Eagles, after a player signs or a player becomes a free agent, you hear that the Eagles are involved, and people are always surprised. Wow, I'm surprised they're doing the homework on him. Or, you know, The Eagles like to do their research on everything. They do it with players. They do it with draft picks. It's why they've had so many receivers come in, why they've shown interest in receivers, despite the fact that they don't really have a huge need at starting receiver, at least at the, on the outside. So with Belichick, I think that they wanted to do research into him. Now, they wouldn't have done this research last year. Like, coming off the Super Bowl, I don't think they would have looked into Bill Belichick. Maybe Howie still calls him. Maybe Lurie asked around just for fun. But obviously, with Sirianni's job status somewhat up in the air, it's noteworthy they did it. Reading that article and everything we know about Belichick that's been reported, I think there is 0.0% chance they were ever going to hire Bill Belichick. He doesn't fit what they want in a head coach. I don't think he's a culture fit. We've heard them talk so much about culture this offseason. There's no way he's a culture fit. I don't think Lurie would enjoy working with him. So it's noteworthy they looked into it, but I don't think it was they were close to hiring Bill and pick Nick. I think they looked into Bill out of interest, just out of, you know, curiosity, and what they found probably pretty quickly led them to believe he was not a fit here.
All right, let me ask you this then, moving forward. Forget just Belichick. Should it be worrisome that they didn't think he lost his fastball but thought he wouldn't fit? Because the way I took that is you got to fit the way we do things here, collaborative. Like, it almost feels like it's not about the best coach, because it said in there they still think he's got his fastball as a coach. It's about how you fit us as an organization. Is that a worry?
So I don't think so, because I think what you did there is separate being a good football mind from being someone that people get along with in the building. I think those are both almost equally important qualities. We could go back and debate, you know, is it more important to be better X's and O's or more a leader of men guy? That's a debate we have every time they hire a head coach. But if they could think Belichick still is good at game planning, and, you know, the game plan they used against their offense was impressive. But I truly believe, especially after watching Doug and Nick be head coaches, that it does matter how you interact with people. It matters that who they have at head coach gets along with Howie Roseman, because Howie is good as his job. It matters how your head coach gets along with the players, because ultimately they're the ones that have to go out there and play. So I think sometimes we do this where, well, they just hired Nick because he gets along with people in the building. Well, that's a really important quality. I mean, we all work in different offices. It matters how you interact with people and how people feel about you. If Belichick maybe is viewed as a better X's and O's mind than Sirianni, but everybody hates playing with him and Robert Kraft is saying he's untrustworthy and he was going to bring in staff no one wanted, that matters more than X's and O's. So I see your point about hiring the best guy. I just think too often we separate the important qualities of what makes the best guy the best guy.
Yeah, it sounds to me more like baseball now with the manager than the way we used to talk about football coaches.
Yeah, it's changed. I feel like it's changed.
Maybe it's that's the way it is now in the NFL. All right, Ellie, let's end with tonight. 7 o'clock, the Sixers and the Heat, the play-in game. Elliot, give me confident, nervous. How you feeling about this thing tonight?
Well, obviously, I'm terrified. I don't see how anybody could not be terrified.
Thank you. I'm sitting here, people are telling me they're going to win by 30 points. It's crazy.
There is not a single team that would be a tougher matchup in this exact spot than the Miami Heat. Does not mean the Heat are the best team, but the Sixers' biggest weakness, it's not a roster weakness. They have arguably the best team in the NBA when fully healthy and playing to full strength. The Sixers' weakness is, in these exact moments, we've seen them come up small. The Miami Heat's strength is, in these exact moments, we have seen them come up big overall. So I think the Sixers are the better team. I think there's a chance they win by 20 because they're just that much more talented. But we've watched way too much Joel Embiid-led Sixers basketball not to think that at some point in their first quarter or fourth quarter, we're going to be thinking, oh, my God, here we go again. So I think they'll win. But of course I'm terrified by this game. I think everyone should be terrified.
Thank you, Elliot.
At some point we got to stop living in the past.
Living in the past? We're living in reality.
Yeah, but it's the past.
It's not the past. It's the only information we have.
Joel Embiid is healthy now.
Oh, there.
Until he proves me wrong, I'm a ride with the Big Five.
All right, Elliot.
Yeah, they were better than the Hawks. They were better than the Raptors.
I ain't asked you for all that history. This ain't no history class. This is a radio show.
Yeah, but
well,
you know,
I wasn't good at history, so that makes sense.
Not history. It just happened. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Yep, talk to you later.
There he goes. See, eventually we needed to bring a basketball guy in here.
No,
to
I mean,
some,
I get it. I get
let,
it.
To add some reality
I get
to
it.
This.
I get it.
You guys are in the clouds.
And it's that, what's they call it, once bitten, twice shy? Like, I get it. I understand why everybody's a little bit.
How about after five times, what are you? I'm hiding under the bed.
Listen, I was
pillows
in Atlanta.
Pillows over my eyes.
I was in Atlanta
no, don't,
when that
don't
that
do
player.
This. Don't
what are you talking about?
No, I don't. You said don't bring up the past. Now you're bringing up the worst one. Game 7 against the Hawks. It was the worst one.
I was like, wow. Like, Ben said, like, I was like, I remember sitting there.